Welcome back to That's Running with your hosts, Patrick McNamara and Mark Engelsman.
Should we start that again?
It's a new intro, bro.
Thanks, Mark. We have a special guest today.
Yes, we do.
His name is on Instagram and he underscore runs. I've always wondered, is that a play on the word Andy? Is that what that is?
It is. It's a play on the word Andy. And also, and he runs as
and
well.
And he runs, but it's yeah. Like Andy runs.
Yeah, exactly. So it is. So it works. Okay, yeah, cool. It works both ways. So in the end, we're here with Andrew.
Andy. Yes. Andrew.
Andrew. Either way. Welcome. Thank you.
Cool. Now that we've got that out of the way. So I've got Andy on the podcast because he's a dear friend of mine, and he's got a few things that I think will be really quite interesting.
Hmm.
So we're just going to just talk some shit with Andy for the next, 45 minutes or however long this goes. So just super quickly, Andy was a big swimmer, hated running, and is now a big runner.
Hate swimming? Let's just say I haven't been in a pool in a while.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Hate swimming. Let's call
it that. No longer a fish.
Yeah. Lost my scales.
Andy's also pretty big in the running community here in Sydney, but he didn't grow up here. He's from Melbourne, so we'll go into how he got involved in the community and what that means to him and go into that. But the big thing is Andy's a fucking nerd.
Yeah, that's why we love it.
You're a geek, right?
Yeah, we're looking down on his laptop at the moment and it's like, it could have all been code.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on,
yeah.
But it's all numbers.
We use Strava and he laughs at Strava.
Yeah. So, there's no data.
Yeah, we're on his laptop in front of some. In front of us, we have runner lights.
And it's hectic.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to go through a few different things. So anyway, Andy, just like tell us about you. Who are you? What do you do? Why are you here? What's going on?
Why am I here? That's a very good question.
What's the meaning of life?
Meaning of life? I don't know. I thought we were talking about running.
Oh, yeah, we are. But running is life.
Same thing.
The same thing. How did I get here? I never wanted to run. I never did. Never. I really didn't enjoy running growing up. I think because you touched on it, Patty, I started off as a swimmer. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I started swimming was because as a child, I had pretty bad asthma. And you know those ventilators? I had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to breathe steroids pretty much every day for my pretty much childhood.
Yeah, they call them spaces.
Yeah,
the machine, where you get the little capsule of steroids put into the thing. I can remember the flavor.
Yeah, called a nebulizer.
Yeah,
yeah. I had childhood asthma too. I was on a nebulizer quite regularly.
Hectic.
Yeah, breathing. So like inhaling steroids.
Oh, that's where you guys are such good runners.
Maybe that's it. Literally grew up on steroids.
Yeah, there we go.
I just thought it was my asthma. Maybe it's my dad being like, Run more.
No, you've got asthma.
So one of the things was the doctor told my parents that maybe try swimming to help build lung capacity. Because basically you're holding your breath for X amount of strokes to swim. And so I started swimming at like really, really young, like so young that I could be easily bribed by matchbox cars. Basically.
Right.
So like 22, 23.
Pretty much, yeah. Probably about four or five.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty young. And that's my defining story from mum is that she had to bribe me with matchbox cars because I kept crying whenever the chlorine water would go on my nose and hurt. And so she'd just give me a new car. Like, I think it was once a week or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So I had a lot of matchbox cars.
You were just there inhaling water, crying.
Yeah. I'm your car. But yeah, so I think just generally I just do something and then I just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And so for swimming, it was literally swim training as a child, learning to swim, and then slowly building up, moving up and up and up into the squads. I think during primary school, I was probably winning most of the swimming championships at schools. I was training at MLC Aquatic, which is a girls' school in Melbourne, but they had a swimming club, which was literally across the road from us. So it was really easy for me to wander across at 5 a.m. so my parents never had to drive me.
Perfect.
So that just kept building up. And then I just keep doing what I normally do without thinking much about it. I was just turning up to these sessions, and as you consistently keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, you just get stronger, stronger, and stronger, faster, 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 and you just get used to it.
What is this C word? Consistency?
Yeah.
Is that
consistency?
What's the derivative of that word?
Yeah, the derivative of that word, at the age of 16, you're swimming national level swimming with 9 sessions a week with up to 6Ks per session.
Wow. So you did a bit of swimming?
Yeah. Just a little bit of swimming. Basically, I think I went through high school in a catatonic state of swimming because I was waking up at 5 in the morning, swimming for 2 hours, going to school, getting out off the train, going back to the pool, swimming for another 2 hours, and then going home, apparently doing homework at some point, waking up at 5 a.m. the next day, doing it all over again.
Yeah.
Do you, like, still smell like chlorine at the moment?
After almost 2 decades of not swimming, I don't smell like chlorine anymore. Mm. I sweat like a normal person.
Ah, yes.
Because this is the other thing. Starting running, I didn't sweat because my body wasn't used to sweating because it used to have a pool to be the heat sink.
Yeah.
And so I was like just running along going, I don't sweat. This is awesome. And then eventually it got to a point where it's like, oh, yeah, I actually do sweat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Shit, I'm in Sydney. I do sweat.
So what was your peak of your swimming career?
That would have been probably about 16, 17, high school, year 11, mm-hmm. year 12. Just before peak of swimming, I could probably do, if I cast my mind back, 50 meters in 24 seconds.
What does that mean? That means nothing to you.
That's 100 and double that.
Yeah, it's fast. It's almost Commonwealth Games qualifying, I think.
Yeah.
Back at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is now.
So pretty good.
Yeah. Not bad.
Good, but missing out by like microseconds, which is extremely frustrating for swimming. Because that's the thing with swimming. You train so much, but it comes down to the tiny, tiny, tiny little increments of, or the tiny 1%ers actually get you to the next level.
It's interesting because the running you do now, you're looking at, cool, can I beat my marathon PB by 5 minutes?
Mm.
Whereas you're like, can I get 0.02 a second quicker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Eh? Mm. That's got to be so frustrating.
It's super frustrating. And the other thing is, like, with a running race, you can prepare for it for a week. You tape it down, you turn up to the event, you can get there the day before. You know, you've got all this time leading up to it, and you can prepare yourself. And the race itself, a marathon, is 3 hours-ish.
Mm.
For swimming, your race is literally 2 minutes.
Mm. Mm.
You get there, you warm up in the morning because that's the only real time that you can warm up because the pool's not being used for competition. Then you sit in the stands eating snacks for 5 hours or whatever, do a little bit of a warm-up game in a smaller pool, and then get ready for your heats. And so you're there for 2 minutes, but you're there actually physically for hours.
Swimming sounds really good to me. You eat for 5 hours, then you do two snacks. Minutes of exercise, and then you're done.
You eat snacks and that's the road against the machine.
Sign me up. I'm going to quit running. That's swimming. Here we come.
That's how you do it. Except the swim for 2 hours at 5 a.m. and then swim for 2 hours in the afternoon.
Let's forget about that stuff. I'll just race.
Just race.
So now you're a runner. When did you start running?
I moved up to Sydney.
When was that?
2015. I actually didn't start running then.
From Melbourne. Right?
Yeah, from Melbourne. So this is relatively recent.
5 years ago.
5 years ago. 2016 was, I think, when I started running. Previous to that, I used to, back in high school and all that, I'd do cross country and do a little bit of running here and there. I think I was best at 800 meters for running on the track back at high school. But I was never part of the ASTE. Just never was.
So
2015, moved up here. Amy, my partner, who I met in Melbourne, now wife, she's a runner. She had been running for longer than me. And when she was living in Sydney, she's born in Sydney, she was a runner. And so when we moved up here together, she wanted us to run. So we started running together, which we had tried earlier in our relationship. And it was just probably not ideal because I treated running as, this is slow, boring. Why am I doing this? I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Whereas she's like trying to get fit and do, you know, appreciate running and get the endorphins and all that kind of stuff. And then she's running next to me. He's like,
hating running.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a slight shift on the move up to here, partly because different lifestyle. So I didn't have the same friends as well. Mm-hmm. Back in Melbourne, most of my friends, they're definitely not runners. They definitely don't do much exercise. My best mate, he probably does it most, and he does a lot of mountain bike riding and cycling. So we'd probably end up doing that as opposed to any other kind of outdoor exercise. Mm-hmm. And then the other catalyst was my sister's, Karen, who's my older sister. She's had been a runner for much longer than I have been, and she's training for an Ironman now. But she does marathons, and every time she'd do a marathon, she'd be like, you should do a marathon. You'd be so good at it. And I'm like, why do I run? I could ride a bike. I don't want to get there slower and sweaty.
It's like ages.
Because I never really saw the benefits of actually running as a sport, or I never met the community, so I didn't know what it was all about.
Yeah.
And I was used, my perception of a sports community was swimming, which is very different to running.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, she eventually, with my other sisters, Rob, Caroline and Amy, they all convinced me to do a half marathon. And so we all signed up for the ASICS half marathon at Gold Coast. We sort of had a bit of a holiday on there as well.
Nice.
So Amy and I were looking at that going, okay, now what do we do? So the first thing I did was, okay, I don't want to hurt myself because I hear people hurt themselves and I hear running's bad for your knees.
Mm-hmm. So I better take care of myself.
So the first thing I did was go, what can I use? Looked onto the ASICS website. Oh, there's an app. All right, I'll just download that. So that was the very first experience of a training plan, I guess.
So I guess that's where, like, that's handy for you. Like, oh, technology, an app, a thing.
I'll use that. That's helped me along. Yeah. But it was actually quite good because I had no idea about how to train for running.
Yeah.
And so I was just basically doing what everyone does, put some shoes on, go out, run.
Yeah.
Did you get ASICS?
Yes. yes, Keanu's.
Oh boy.
Let's move on.
Yeah, ASICS training plan. Yeah. Keanu's.
Yeah.
Doing the ASICS thing, following the plan. It was pretty easy to follow, which is great for a beginner runner. And you just, it's all based on hours. And I ended up doing a lot of run commuting as well, just because I could, because the way that those plans are structured, it's not, they're not intervals, they're not speed work, it's nothing like that. It's just basically you do, I think it starts off with doing 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all time-based. And then it might actually have in there, start off with this session easy, and then in the next 20 minutes go harder. And so it's all very kind of simple, basic coaching. Which is great for a beginner. And so I did that, and I ran the half marathon. Didn't think it was too bad.
Yeah.
Finished in a respectable time. So it was great. So then I thought...
So you had a good experience.
I had a good experience. It was a trip to Gold Coast. Speaking of the trip to the Gold Coast and my sisters, they both bailed at the last minute.
Oh, really? So you went by yourself?
I went with Amy. So it was just Amy and myself.
Yeah.
We went. Both did the half marathon.
Did you run together?
We did not run together.
Okay.
We learned that... we probably should be running together at that point.
Yeah. Good for your relationship.
Yeah. Good for our relationship.
Yeah.
We did, when we were doing the training leading up to it, though, we did some runs together, and it was kind of the easier runs.
Yeah.
So you can kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
Chill a little bit. But when it was race day, no, it's the race.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah, yeah.
So when was that? What year?
2016.
Cool. 2016.
Mm.
So if that was your intro to running, fast forward now, let's give these people a picture of you as a pretty handy runner, as a an influencer, as the person who knows the answer to most running related things you could ask.
Yeah.
So
how do I get here?
What are you at now?
Yeah, what are you training for?
It's really cool. It's really impressive, the stuff that you do.
Right now, I run a lot. I'm getting to that. Over the past year, I think most of my weeks will probably sit around 80 kilometers plus.
Yeah.
With my peak weeks probably being around 110 kilometers a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think the biggest stretch of 100K plus weeks was probably 3-4 weeks I had back in just before June this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that I was training hard to get a decent diet time at, well, you know, top 25 or something like that at 6 foot, because it's a completely arbitrary thing to aim for. Why not?
Yeah. We've spoken about the 6 foot track marathon a few times. It's an epic 45K trail run, quite hilly.
I signed up for it today.
Yes, started. I did as well.
Yes. Good. So we'll be back at it next year. Yeah. But that was the first goal of 2020, which obviously never eventuated. But then because that got cancelled, the goal sort of shifted to, all right, I want to see if I can run further than that. Also, this year was a time when I kind of wanted to shift my perception of running from time-based goals or distance-based goals to actually appreciating running, because I don't want running to turn into something like my swimming did, which was a thing that I just did over and over again. So it's a level of appreciation of running and the community that is next level to what I had of swimming.
Yes.
So the goal shifted to, let's see what happens if I can go further. So I also train with Runlab, or Runlab has coached me, so Vlad and Ben. And they've been running my program for probably almost 2 years now. And so they keep me on track, and I don't have to worry too much about planning my schedule, because I just do what they give me, which is good, makes it a bit easier. And so the next goal was, let's run 50-ish Ks. So I made my own course. This was early COVID times as well, so restrictions were in place. We weren't supposed to be moving around as much. And living closer towards Royal National Park, I'd just be down there most weekends running the trails.
And so I got smashing the trail runs.
That national park, I know like the back of my hand now. I don't need a map. I don't need any direction. I just go down there and I can get in somewhere and end up where I need to be.
Sweet.
I was pretty much hitting the national park every weekend. Every Sunday I was scheduling in at least a 3-hour run somewhere. And so I was just doing that, and then that consistency kept building up. I planned a 50K run for Runlab. So we, as a training group, we sort of created a goal for everyone, which was either 30K in Royal National or 50-something in Royal National. So we all went down and did that, which was great. Everyone really enjoyed it. Baked some brownies for the end.
Oh, I heard some good stories. Brownies, there was like refreshments, and it was perfect.
Yeah, course was marked as well with little pink tape.
People still got lost, but, you know.
People still got lost, yes.
That always happens.
So it was good. It was good fun. And I actually really, really enjoyed running that, because I ran the first half with Stu Donaldson.
Stu Dono.
Okay. Who, I don't think he was training as much anymore, but he just did it. He came anyway. We did the first 30-something Ks together. And then he was like, no, I'm out.
And then you just kept traveling on for another 20K.
Yeah, and then I just kept going for another 20-something K, and I really enjoyed it.
So was that your longest run ever?
At that point, yes. Yeah, at that point. So that would have been early June.
Yeah.
And then having done that and having UTA or shifted and everyone sort of not knowing what they were doing anymore, I sort of went, oh, UTA is on a weekend that isn't my wedding anniversary. Maybe I should get a ticket.
So that's UTA 100.
Yeah, UTA 100.
Yeah.
So I just went onto the Facebook page, just hung around there for ages, you know, just making sure that if anyone did sell a ticket that I'd just be able to chirp in and pick it up and then start the plan to run 100Ks, which I still haven't done.
Still haven't done it because that event got cancelled.
Yes.
So we were together for your longest run now, which is 71Ks.
Yes. Was it the one you got hurt or was it the one before that?
No, way before that.
No, so way before that. Okay.
We ran 71Ks to the pub.
Yes.
And deleted many beers.
Deleted beers. Yes. It was a great day. That was my longest run. So that was 71-ish Ks from Coogee to Scarborough pub. And I found that to be absolutely brilliant.
And it was incredible because you were like, you've been training so well so consistently and you just looked comfortable the whole way. You got to the end and you were like, yeah, longest run ever, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Sweet.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of funny what happens when you do 3-hour trail runs every weekend and train consistently.
Yeah.
And then you get to 71K and you're like, oh, yeah, easy. Like,
can we keep going? Yeah. No, the pub's here. Okay.
UTA 100 got cancelled.
And postponed.
You still haven't run 100Ks yet.
No.
So are you going to run 100Ks soon? Do you have a plan to? Because I think that's your thing. You need to do that.
Yeah. So I will be running 100Ks. I just have to figure out which 100Ks now. Because I'm moving back down to Melbourne as well. Mm. So that's the other, I have to figure out what's down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. The other thing I want to like talk about is you're very well embedded in the running community here in Sydney through like, I guess I'm kind of met you through the Sydney Striders, the club that I'm part of. That's how we met. You're all over Parkrun. You're with Running Heroes. You're
coaching for Run Lab.
Coaching for Run Lab. Trying to become an influencer and get sponsored.
It's getting there.
So like, how did you go from, obviously you've only been running for like 3-4 years, you're kind of new to a city, but you're very well entrenched now. So tell us about that.
So being new to a city and not having any friends, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You, with the modern technologies these days, you can use an app. Everyone knows about that now. But my first go was Meetup, and I went to, because I'm a skier as well. Mm-hmm. And so that was my other excuse for starting to run was, I've got to keep fit over summer.
Yeah.
So that was the other excuse which I gave myself. Mm. But I was a skier. So the first thing that I did when I moved up here was actually get a season pass for Parachute.
Yeah.
And I signed up to Meetup and I met these people on Meetup that have Sydney Skiers, Snowboarders, something like that. Lovely bunch of people, but it just makes it hard when you're only seeing them on a weekend and only over the winter season.
Yeah.
And so you don't really make long-lasting relationships or friendships. And as a person, I tend to take a while to make friends because I don't know. I just – maybe I'm a quick judge of people and just ignore them. Don't know. Or I latch onto someone who I think is a good person. Patty. So I don't know. So that was the first go at making friends. And then all of a sudden I'm doing this running thing. And Amy, when she was living in Sydney, she'd always used to see Sydney Striders. And every time she was like, I want to join a Sydney Strider. I want to join Sydney Striders. I've always wanted to join Sydney Striders.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just went, you keep saying it. I've just signed you up. We're now members.
Yeah.
Which is also great because then it opened doors to meeting a whole lot of people with very similar ideas of what fun is, which is running. Mm. And so that's where I met, you know, Patty, Jacko. Who else? I met a lot of people.
All your friends.
Baz. Gilbert from, you know, like all those guys who are at Striders doing the Stars Run every Sunday. and they're fantastic people. You're spending 3 hours with them.
Because you're doing long runs together, so you're chatting the whole time.
Yeah,
you have to. You're seeing people most weeks.
And so you get to know people really well.
Yeah. And then you go and do an event like the Sydney Surf, and they're all there. Yeah. You do the Sydney Half Marathon, they're all there. Like, it's ongoing stuff. Yeah.
And so because my friendship group in Sydney all of a sudden basically, well, was pretty much all made up of runners. Because it was either you make friends from work or you make friends elsewhere, and the elsewhere just happened to be running.
Yeah.
And then having met all these people, doing all the running with them, you know, catching up with them on the other times to do more running. Because basically everything just revolves around running. You go run, then have breakfast. Run, then go to the pub.
Yeah, exactly.
Run.
Run and eat, basically.
Watch a movie about running.
Yeah.
So it just becomes that. It becomes running. And I think Amy, my wife, hates that to a bit as well, because I think one of her things, you're just always running. Everything you do is about running. Her fault. Yeah, that's what I keep saying.
Like, you started this.
So I think that's how it started. Like, it just became a thing where everyone I knew was involved somehow in running. And that's where Running Heroes came from as well, because then I was like, oh, there's an app. The first time I actually saw this app was a sticker on the Coastal Walk, because I used to work for Waverley Council, so I used to walk up and down the Coastal Walk, or be in the proximity if I was working on a project there.
Coastal Walk, by meaning like Coogee to Bondi.
Yes.
For those incidents.
Yeah. And so I saw these stickers, and they were Running Heroes. And I was like, what is Running Heroes? So I took a photo. And, well, first thought was, who are these people graffitiing everywhere, sticking stickers everywhere? This is legal. I'm going to peel this off. but, you know, I saw that and I thought, what is this? This is interesting. Had a look at it, and being a bit of a tight ass, Running Heroes allows you to win things from running. So it's basically the more you run, the more points you gather. The more points you have, you can use those points to claim discounts on products. So whether it's Sportitude or Running Warehouse, even ASICS.
So it's like, yeah, it's awesome because you run, you redeem points, and it's like, get 20% off this, get
50%
off that. Or go in the draw to win one of three shoes this week. Or
And so they have a lot of competitions as well. So the more people that get onto the platform, they're able to get more brands on board as well.
Yeah.
So that was me being a tight ass going,
ooh, free stuff.
Free stuff. Woo! I run heaps.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll win something.
Yeah.
I have yet to actually win anything in the official draws.
Keep
trying. Keep trying.
But it's fantastic. And so I actually then ended up meeting the managing director of the company in Australia. So it's actually a French company. It started in France. And they actually have an overarching brand called Sport Heroes, which does swimming and cycling as well.
Yeah.
But they just didn't pick up in Australia as much as running did.
Mm.
So, yeah, they started doing runs. I signed up for these runs, met the managing directors, and pretty much it's a very small team in Sydney, so I met everyone there. And Michelle's a great guy.
I believe fitness is his passion.
Fitness is his passion. so he's running the ship there now, and we get along, and I see him all the time because it's running again. And it's just shifted towards meeting more and more people in the community just through all these different platforms that I'm going through. So
I guess like Running Heroes have a kind of community themselves. So like you've got the Striders community where you made a whole bunch of mates, the Running Heroes community, which you've like, you're just in now.
So Running Heroes is trying to start up a more consistent run club as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I'm supposed to be leading with Loz, but I'm leaving
to Melbourne. Bailing from Sydney.
Yeah.
So I have to talk to Michelle about that.
Sorry, Michelle. One little COVID outbreak and he moves to Melbourne.
Nice. That's really cool to see. And I think it's cool that, you know, a couple of years ago, you know one, and then you run, and now you know, like,
everyone, like, basically.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know Andy.
Yeah, everybody knows Andy.
Yeah, and I think there's also, like, other things that you've just been a part of just because you froth on the community, and there was an underground event where a about 20 of us tried to run 100Ks from one side of the city to the other. And Andy's like, sick, can I be the support guy? And you just drove your car around all day.
Yeah.
And then there were all these 20 of us runners were like, fuck, Andy's a legend because he just gave up his day to do this. But, I think you just froth that.
But that is like, to watch that and to actually be a part of that was pretty amazing.
It's pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
It was partly me trying to figure out what actually goes into 100K.
Yeah.
And at the same time as I can help them out.
Yeah.
But it was really selfishly research.
Research. So
you had 20 guinea pigs.
Right? Yeah.
So speaking of Andy's the running nerd.
Yeah.
So if we're all going on a group run, it's like, Andy, can you make the map, create the file for our watches and send it around to everyone? Or like, I just feel like everyone will do a run, we upload it to Strava, and we're like, great. But Andy uploads it to Runalyze and goes into the data.
And uses the data.
And he has a coaching plan. and you have opinions on Strava.
Yeah. So let's start with Strava. let's keep start easy.
Strava. So I noticed Strava back when I was a cyclist, when I was mountain biking.
Mm.
Just because, to take it even further back, my first phone with a built-in GPS chip was in 2008.
Yeah.
So
I had a really chunky Nokia that had Snake on it.
This was a Nokia though.
Right.
Really?
This was a Nokia only released in Hong Kong, and somehow
you got it.
I bought it from
the
internet.
Because you were Andy Chow.
Because I'm a geek. I found this phone with GPS in it and maps and everything, and it could upload proper apps to do tracking, GPS tracking.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so the very first app that I had that did GPS tracking was Endomondo.
And that rings a bell.
So Under Armour owns it, and I think they're about to sell it.
Yeah.
Because it's a Finnish. Yeah, I think it's Finnish.
I think I've heard of that from back in the day. Back home.
No, yeah, it's
somewhere in Europe.
Pretty much at the same time as Strava was coming up, they had a very similar platform.
Mm.
GPS tracking, trying to create a community around running and competing against each other. So they had challenges on there too. And they still have challenges on there.
Yeah.
Not like Strava challenges, not to the quality of that you have on Strava, but it's more community-based, so you could actually challenge your mates. I think that they would probably be one of the first companies that started doing that.
Yeah.
At the same time, Strava became a thing, but they target the cycling community, and we all know the cycling community. They're very competitive.
So competitive.
Yes.
Very competitive. Not as competitive as runners, because you can actually look at that. Endomondo was for runners.
Yeah.
Strava was cyclists, and Strava just went, boom.
Yeah.
Whereas Endomondo just kind of petered out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Strava is an interesting app, and I will always treat it as a social platform.
Hmm.
I don't see it as a training platform because the data that goes into that platform is essentially what your Garmin's giving you, your Suunto's giving you, your Polar's giving you, and they already do that. First Beat Technologies, which is the company that does the VO2 max on your watch, the pulse oximetry or whatever it is, it's the blood in the oxygen in your blood and all that kind of stuff, that's all done by First Beat.
Yeah.
The watch companies don't do that. They just pay a license. Which actually Garmin owns a large stake in now as well. So let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But Strava doesn't have any more additional information. Like, realistically, what else are they adding apart from the whole social side?
Yeah, so if you compare Strava to your whatever watch app you use, same info.
Pretty much. And so that's why I always treat it as a social platform.
Mm.
You know, it's fantastic for seeing what other people are doing, what the pros are doing. If you're running with mates, knows that you're running with mates and tags them all in there. If you're running a big event, like, you can find who you're running next to and chatting to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic for that. And I think I'm not a tech person in terms of investing, but anyway, they should focus on that as opposed to all this trading shit that they're trying to do.
Just the social interactions. Mm.
Yeah, because there's so much value in that because the running community is a community that basically loves each other.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean,
that's the same as the cycling community.
I've been running with a friend in Canada at the same time, with making sure that with time difference, making sure that we're running at the same time with Mel, that I've been coaching for a while. She will be listening to this. I've been running with Mel, and we're the outside of the planet, but we are running together, and through Strava, we're connected.
And then when you throw in programs like the Swift and Peloton and all those other new technologies coming up, you can literally run in the same place, so Central Park, New York, with people from all over the world, which is kind of cool because my sister, Caroline, she lives in New York. My sister, Karen, used to live in China. And so we could have all run at the same place online at the same time if we wanted to.
Yeah.
So huge value in like
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Kind of like Instagram for running, right? Like
But it makes it like even with Swift and all that, it becomes a game. Yeah. Like they're going to improve their graphics a lot, but
it becomes a group social activity.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing this by myself.
Yeah.
So Strava have like a free option and a premium option, and they recently jacked up their prices from like $3 a month to like $11 a month.
And they've changed how basic is and what you get in premium.
And I don't recall the specifics, but I recall you having opinions on it. Care to share those? Because I'm sure most people here are quite familiar with Strava / maybe our premium members. So can you just unleash that? Because I can't remember what your gripe was. Can you refresh me?
So Strava went through a period where they were just sort of giving out, well, it was free. Everyone was trying their platform, loving it, and they had access to all these new features. And then all of a sudden they realized they weren't making money and they switched those features off and pushed it into premium. But even at that point in time, there were other features being released to premium members because it was called something else, wasn't it?
It had another thing.
Yeah, it was called something else at that time. So there was tiers as well of pricing.
No.
And so they were basically using paying members as beta testers. Which, it's okay, but be a bit more transparent about it.
Mm-mm.
And I think the other thing is within the tech community, people complain about how Strava doesn't react to feedback.
Yeah. Mm.
And so if the community says one thing, they're like, whatever, we're Strava.
Whatever we want.
We'll just do whatever.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because at that same time, like last year, Strava was starting to hemorrhage cash. And so they had to switch. They had to somehow change their business model to actually make money.
Yeah.
And they're a gigantic tech company. And they've gone through Series F now for funding. And I think they got like $110 million from venture capitalists of some sort. And that was just recently. I think the thing is if you give the people something, you don't take it away from them and then charge them for it.
Yeah.
It's like the Australian free barbecue situation.
Mm.
You're not going to put a coin slot on there now, are you?
Exactly.
Because everyone's going to go, nah, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just how Strava managed that could have been better.
Okay. So that put you offside?
Well, yeah, that put me offside, but I've always been a little bit skeptical of Strava anyway.
Mm. So you use Runalyze.
I do.
What is it and why?
So Runalyze is an...
We're not being paid for this. Fuck, I wish I was being paid for it. If anyone works at Runalyze and wants to pay me.
Please do. I'll say pay Andy first.
Pay Andy, because this is a genuine curiosity for me.
Runalyze, I don't know how I came across Runalyze. It actually could have been Dr. Stu.
Dr. Stu. Yeah, okay.
It could have been. I can't remember now. But the background of Runalyze is that it's a couple Austrians, I think, or around that Germanic area.
Somewhere in Europe.
Yeah. Tech geeks.
Yeah.
Runners.
Yeah.
Wanting something to filter all the data that they're getting from their watches.
Mm.
At the time when they built the original platform, I think watches were pretty basic and you weren't getting as much information out of it as you could.
Yeah.
And they saw a gap in that. And so they started doing research. And so Runalyze actually uses research papers for all the algorithms that they have in there. And so all the, from my understanding, all the calculations that they give of your VO2 max, your perceived marathon shape, and whether or not your training's too much or too little is all based on actual research papers that have been in the public realm.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. So it links up to your watch, so your Garmin or your Suunto. They push all the data up there, and then they just filter all that information through these algorithms that they've written. For me, it's fantastic because I think – I can't remember which episode. A few episodes back, you guys were talking about loading, and so running too much and too little.
Probably every
episode. Most episodes. Let's keep that trend going. And so they've got a thing called fatigue, ATL, and then fitness level, CTL. So acute training load and
chronic training.
Chronic training, that's correct. And then based on those values, they'll give you a stress balance, which they call TSB. And then on top of that, they give you a workload ratio.
That's the, so there's a lot of, like in the physio world, acute chronic workload ratio is kind of has sort of come and gone in terms of vogue. It's been a big thing, acute chronic workload ratio. It's kind of moving slightly away from that now in terms of just simplifying a little bit more. But yeah, there's good evidence on that ratio.
But because Garmin's do that now as well with, you know, that little thing pops up after you run and says you're loading or not or whatever. It's, I'm assuming that's based on very similar.
Yeah, like the over under training thing.
Yeah. So this actually has a little bar graph on the side that would turn red in a little bracket if you're training too much. And then it'll also then give you, you should probably rest X number of days.
And that's not based on, like, you did a 15-kilometer run, so you need to rest for 2 hours. It's like it looks at your chronic training, how conditioned you are, and how much load you've been putting in consistently over a long period of time, and it compares your one-off run to that.
Yeah,
that's and great. So two different people might do a 15-kilometer run. For someone, I'm saying you need to rest for 4 days. Yeah. Someone would be like, cool, you that's well within your acute tolerances, so you basically don't need to rest.
Yeah, and that's awesome because it's so tailored as well. So if you – and the other great thing is with Garmin's way that they push data, you can actually upload the whole backlog of your Garmin.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not just from this point you signed up. It's everything else.
Yeah, and so it filters all that backlog and figures it out.
So it actually can give you like proper numbers on what your chronic training load is, because it's not just, oh, you signed up today, you've done one run.
Yeah.
It's, you've had the last 5 years of running.
Yeah.
That's epic.
That's cool. And so what I was able to actually do with this, my Garmin only had X amount of data from when I was running, and then I had bits and pieces of data from when I was skiing, riding, and pretending to run on Endomondo. So I exported that and uploaded in as well. And so straight away when I went on to Runalyze, I had that information in front of me. When I first opened it, I was like, what's all these numbers? They look crazy.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm like,
because I had no idea. And the other really cool thing, I'm going to find a hilly run for you.
So interesting that looking at the couple of numbers that really catch my eyes, it breaks down your just acute load versus your chronic load. That's huge, because that's where a lot of the thinking is. And it just labels it fitness versus fatigue level.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. It simplifies it a little bit for, but it, not too much. And
it simplifies it enough to be like, okay, you know, you're pushing it this week. That graph is red now, and you see the graph. You're like, fair enough. Based on the science, I should probably pull back a little bit.
Yeah, and then it actually, it's missing here because I haven't run in a couple of days, and so it doesn't have rest as well. So normally it'll tell you how much rest you have as well. So it's got a little bar graph in there.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing that they do, which no one else really has done yet, they give you information on hills and vert. And so they've...
I like hills.
They've adapted the cycling calculation for hills. So feet or whatever it is, F-I-E-T-S. It's Dutch, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they actually give you a climb score. And they actually find all the hills on your GPS elevation as well. And so you can actually click on a hill and it will tell you
like how well you've done on that hill or how hard you've sucked on that hill.
Well, it gives you uphill efficiency, downhill efficiency, gives you the average gradient of the whole course, the percentage of how hilly that course was, and gives you overall climb score based on the feats.
All right.
And then you can actually click on the climb score view, and it'll break down those hills for you as well, which is really cool.
Interesting. And so you've been getting into your trail running the last couple of years, so that's more relevant for you rather than just training for a fast 10K. Right?
Yeah.
But what do you get out of that? Like, yes, you get your climb score, which is X.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
You get a cool graph.
I get a really cool graph. Yeah. Look at it.
I can see the graph because they're next to you. But what are people that are listening that actually can't see graphs because they're listening?
So with this data, the interesting thing that I find with it is there's two things you can do. One, if you've got a Stride foot pod, and also Garmin's are starting to do this now as well.
Using a power meter.
Yeah, the whole idea of running with power, so as in it goes back to cycling as well, and when you ride up a hill, you don't look at your heart rate or anything like that or your pace.
You look at your power output.
You look at your power output. And in theory, your power output should be pretty similar, so it should be staying around the same number.
As on flats.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So when you're running on the flat, let's say it's 200 watts. When you're going up a hill, it should probably stay around 200 watts. You might be pushing a little bit harder, but it should really be staying around there for you not to be too fatigued or anything.
Mm.
So you can get that kind of data from this as well. And Runalyze actually generates the wattage that you're producing as well. I don't know how accurate it is because that's the other weird thing with running is that no one has come up with a standardized calculation for wattage for running. So Stride is different to Garmin, is different to Runalyze, is different to
everything.
And so that's an issue. So the thing that I look for in this is just a consistent number.
Yeah,
because this platform would always have the same consistent number because
it's basically the same number. Yeah, you're not going to compare Stride to Runalyze because you get different numbers and like, which one?
Unless you actually have a Stride pod because Stride works with Runalyze. Okay. So it's integrated. But that's the cool thing about it. So as a trail runner, it's awesome for trying to figure that stuff out.
Mm.
And if you're thinking, that run felt really crap, what's going on here? And then you can look back and go, okay, I probably went too hard on that first section of the hill and I died at the end.
Mm. Yeah. Basically, every trail runner ever do.
Pretty much everyone. Pull it back at the start.
So, has using Runalyze now, is that just satisfying your need for data, or is it actually? Have you looked at it and then changed your training as a result? Have you done anything like that, or do you just like the numbers? Like,
so that's what I'm planning to do, because for the first few years of having Runalyze, I was just overwhelmed by it. I just didn't know what was going on, and then now because I've done my coaching certification as well, so I understand a bit more of what I should be doing, and having run so much as well, I now understand what I should be doing. And now I can actually look at this data, look at my training, and try tailor a bit more to what I'm doing. But I haven't done that yet, but I'm just a pure data geek and we're just looking at the sunrise. It's sunset.
It's beautiful.
So good.
So I'll be starting to look into that a bit more as well because to start with, it's just I'm just a data geek. I just like looking at these graphs and going, cool.
Yeah. Ooh, graph.
Ooh, that number looks good.
Yeah. 200. Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what the weird thing is? That all the calculations on here are thrown out now because I changed watches.
Going from Garmin to Suunto.
Garmin to Suunto means now my heart rate readings aren't as consistent.
Why?
I think... It's wrist heart rate.
Garmin or strap.
So if I want to do an interval and get better heart rate, I'll put the strap on. Mm-hmm. But the wrist heart rate and the Suunto is throwing everything out.
Right.
Because previously it was based on my Garmin's quite consistent heart rate readings. And so now the new watch is thrown out a bit, which annoys me a little bit.
Mm.
The other thing about this as well, about pretty much most training platforms, is trail running is hard to plan for because you can do your ATL or the fatigue or whatever.
Mm.
But a lot of the time it's based on your heart rate. When you run up hills,
it's way higher.
Yeah. If you're running on trail, it's harder because you're not running on flat. You've got things to jump over, things to step over. So you've got to slow down.
And on the same breath, you're running downhill at 330 pace.
Yeah.
And your heart rate's quite low.
So the things like elevation, trail, and technicality of the trail, no one's really done any kind of study on that.
Mm.
And so all these
variables that you can't that is hard to implement, because how do you research that? And
follow some trail runs. But I think that's it. Yeah. So all those platforms, all the data is thrown out of it because it's not there.
Yeah.
So if you look at my Runalyze now, I think it says my predicted marathon time will be like, I'll click on it. My predicted marathon time is 4:35.
What is your marathon PB?
2:56.
Cool. And that's purely because a lot of longer and trail running.
Yeah. So it's slower, longer trail runs.
Yeah. And that's predicting you do a 4:30 marathon.
Yeah.
I think you could walk that backwards on one leg.
I'm not sure about that.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, right now, you could do one in 3:30 tonight.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
Right now, you could go.
So why is that predicting you do a 4:30 marathon when you can easily do 1 to 1.5 hours quicker at a pinch?
Longer runs on trails means that my average paces are dropping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My heart rates would be higher because I'm going uphill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your average fitness level, quote unquote,
the calculations of fitness.
Okay, so if that's looking at your, distance versus speed, it's like, well, your average pace is lower, so you're not as fit.
Yeah.
Fine. And then your heart rate higher, so that looks like you're not as fit.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't take that technicality or the elevation into that.
And then the other funny thing is, after that 70k run that we did, Patty, my marathon shape went from like. So Runalyze has this calculation of marathon shape based on all your training, and in theory, 100% would mean that you're going to hit your goal.
Yeah.
It went from like 60, 70% to like 300, 400%. Because it's just like, training load, amazing, 70Ks.
Yeah. Boom.
So there's some flaws in the system.
There are flaws in the system, but there always will be because,
Well, there's too many variables too.
Way too many variables.
Yeah. So it's so interesting because I think there's like, a bit of a spectrum, like whether you're a bit of a numbers planning organized person, you have a program that you follow and you look at your data and statistics, or you can just go off feel and just be a full hippie. And I'm very much down on the go off feel end of the spectrum. I do kind of look at my distance, my pace, and but I always correlate that to just how I'm feeling, how's my fitness, how's my fatigue, how does my body feel.
Mm.
Whereas the fact that like a spreadsheet would tell me that, like, fuck that. I know way more than the spreadsheet knows, just my feeling.
But and I think that's true though. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that this year I was trying to not focus so much on this data as opposed to just enjoying running and being out on the trails.
Yeah.
And that's important. That's more important, I'd say, than trying to look at, say, Strava saying it's a stress score of X.
Exactly.
Like, I think this is a really good tool to use if you're dedicated road marathoner.
Yeah.
Then you can keep good track of it. You only run roads. There's maybe not too much elevation, and then you can get a pretty accurate reading and idea of where you are. But for us that do trails and roads and run marathons, we also run ultra marathons, but also love a 5K. It's a bit all over the place.
Yeah, so the algorithms get a bit confused.
Because it's just too much.
And I think it probably holds a bit more value for, say, like us three, we're all pretty experienced runners who know our bodies, we know what we're doing. We've been through, we've done marathons, we kind of know what we're doing. We know how it feels, how it should feel, and how your body responds. How it shouldn't feel. Sometimes we choose to block that out and ignore it. But anyway, that's on us. But I think this might hold more value in someone who is a bit more inexperienced, always looking for a bit more guidance. So I'm like, when they see that acute training load peak up, that's a bit of a signal for them to pull back a little bit. I think that definitely has some use there. I don't know. I like looking at Runalyze, and so Andy's got the data up in front of us. I will never use that. I will absolutely never use that.
I will use that fallback. That looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what they also produce a really cool poster of all your runs.
Yeah,
of course you love that shit.
Yeah, yes, done. I mean,
so my level of analysis goes to just looking at what Strava has in my weekly mileage. That's kind of all I look at, and I'm like, and not to change or plan or anything, just like, oh, cool, I did 60k, sweet. Yeah. Just to
we talked about this earlier today. You were like, look, I did 2k, I did 4k, I did 7k, I did 50k. That's why my Achilles is sore.
Yeah, and that's right. That's the level of analysis I'm going to. But so, I didn't need Strava to tell me that. I knew that.
Yeah.
But Strava showed you a graph.
Will they shoot you off? Maybe.
They did show you. They went like, shoot you.
They showed my, what was it, like a 500% increase in weekly mileage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably why my Achilles hurts.
That's probably just over the 10% rule.
Just over.
Just over. Yeah. Barely.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else, Andy?
I don't know.
For anyone who's still listening. I just think it's so cool. Like, I mean, this is just a world apart from me. I think Mike dabbles in this way more. You use like Training Peaks, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's goes into a bit of the plan.
Yeah, and that's I find it quite interesting. But again,
because Training Peaks is, I can't even interpret the graphs in Training Peaks.
Some of them I'm just like, what the fuck? Nah, too much. Yeah. But it's like, for those little bits that you can use, it's super useful. Yeah. Am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Am I where I should be?
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing to have. And for some people, it will be useful.
Mm.
But not clearly for us, because we're doing so much other things.
And I think that's where the Garmin thing comes in really handy now, because it's right there on your wrist and it tells you after you run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my center tells me after every run that I need like 5 days of rest, but
my watch doesn't have that function. Maybe I just turned it off because it's ridiculous. Yeah.
So?
Nah, this is an old Spartan. Yeah.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to chatting to you for a while. So it's really cool to see this. And like we're just staring at some really impressive graphs on our lives. So have a fiddle with it, because I think it is kind of cool. It looks interesting, but it looks terrifying at the same time. But that's not on me.
And so it's free. It's
kind of cool.
It's completely free, and you can donate, which I do, because I use it a lot. So I figured if I'm going to use something, I might as well give them something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
cool. That's what we've asked people to do as well.
Patreon.
Also a Patreon.
He is.
Andy is also a Patreon. Yeah, true.
$5 every month. Thank you, Andy.
No, we just need to manage to get that money into a bank account somehow, but that's a whole different story.
Sick, man. Well, thank you. I'm very shattered that you're moving to Melbourne, but it means I have somewhere to sleep when I do the Melbourne Marathon next year.
Exactly. So maybe can you move somewhere like on the course?
Just by the finish line.
What?
That'd be good.
I have a school friend's parents that live right next door to the finish line.
Lovely.
Done.
Tell them I will use their toilet at about 11 a.m. that day. No. All right, thanks, bro. Good chat.
Good chat. That's running.